all of our special and honored guests, headed by His Holiness Srila Sridhar Swami Maharaj, one of the very senior and beloved disciples of Srila Prabhupada, and the president of Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari Mandir in Juhu. We are all very grateful that he has so kindly honored or given his blessings to all of us by coming tonight. Let us all welcome him. And I'd like to welcome all of the very illustrious servants of Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda in London, who have so kindly come halfway across the planet Earth just to give us their merciful association. Tomorrow you're coming for Sunday program? This is just a tiny part of our congregation. Tomorrow many more will come. So we would like to give a proper introduction tomorrow. You're definitely coming. But it is these devotees who have factually, by their great sacrifice and dedication, saved Bhaktivedanta Manor from being exploited by the agents of Maya. Bhaktivedanta Manor was one of the most favorite of all the places on the earth for our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. He spent many months every year preaching there, developing it, and it was almost closed down. But due to the most incredibly selfless devotional acts of the people who have come to visit us today from England, Bhaktivedanta Manor is flourishing and the preaching is expanded like never before. So let us welcome them all to Sri Radha Gopinath's congregation. I was asked to speak from Srimad Bhagavatam this evening. With your permission, Maharaj, I will speak. Kamula Dasanu Daso Bhavitasmi Bhuyaha Manasmarathe Tashi Manasmari Tashupater Gunamste Grinita Vakar Makaroti Kayaha. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet? O Lord of my life, may I again become their servant so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes, my words always glorify those attributes, and my body always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse gives the sum and substance of devotional life. One must first become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Das Anudas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised, and he also showed by his own example, that a living entity should always desire to be a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. Gopi Bharatu Padakamalayora Dasa Das Anudas. This means that one must accept a spiritual master who comes in the disciplic succession and is a servant of the Lord. Under his direction, one must then engage one's three properties, namely his body, mind, and words. The body should be engaged in physical activity under the order of the spiritual master. And the mind should be should think of Krishna incessantly, and one's words should be engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord. If one is thus engaged in the loving service of the Lord, one's life is successful. Om Agyanti Midandasya Yananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmoy Sri Guruve Namaha. Prabhupada is explaining, embodies the very sum and substance of devotional life. The great mystery which is revealed within these pages of Srimad Bhagavatam is who actually spoke this verse, which is the sum and substance of the perfection of devotion to Krishna. Can any of you guess who spoke this verse? Huh? It was spoken by one of the greatest and most powerful demons of the name Vritrasura. And this wonderful story is explained by Shukadev Goswami. It begins in Swargaloka, the abode of Maharaj Indra. He was in the assembly of many Gandharvas, Apsaras, many celestial beings, demigods. He was sitting on his throne, and he was being worshipped by all. People were singing his glories, honoring him, worshipping him, bringing gifts to him. He was sitting beside his most beautiful wife, Sachi. And thus, he was very much infatuated by his very high position and the opulences which he had derived by the grace of the Lord. At that time, the spiritual master of Indra, Brihaspati, entered into the assembly. Indra was so much puffed up by his high position that he did not make any gesture to honor or respect his spiritual master, Brihaspati. He simply sat on his elevated seat to receive worship. Brihaspati understood that one who disrespects the servant of the Lord is condemned to the wrath of God himself. Brihaspati did not curse Indra. He knew everything is in the hands of the Supreme. But understanding the offense of his disciple, without saying anything to anyone, he left that place and went home. After he left, Indra understood that I have made a big aparad. And because of this, the Lord will be displeased with me. So he got down from his throne to search for Brihaspati. But Brihaspati wanted Indra to understand the gravity of his offense. So he disappeared, and Indra could not find him anywhere. And because of this offense to a great soul, Indra, as well as all of the demigods, lost all of their powers and potencies. It is said that one who disrespects a great soul, not only does he suffer, but all those connected to that person or related to that person must also suffer. So the demons, they understood that Indra and the demigods were in a pitiable condition. And what they did is they began to serve, honor, and worship their guru, Shukracharya. And thus they got great strength, and they attacked the demigods. And the demigods were helpless against them. The demigods, their heads, their limbs were just getting crushed by the demons, and they just understood it is hopeless. So they ran from their lives, left their abodes, and they went to Lord Brahma. Because they understood that Lord Brahma is so near and dear to the personality of Godhead. When they explained their pitiable condition to Brahma, Brahma chastised them. He says, because of your great opulence, you have become so proud, you have insulted a great personality, therefore this is the natural reaction. Indra himself began to lament. He was thinking that when one has the opulences of this world, the tendency is to become proud. The opulences are great wealth, great strength, great knowledge, great fame, renunciation, beauty. They have a tendency to make one's heart hard. When we start thinking we are great, then we do not properly honor and respect others. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the simple means by which we can always avoid all offenses and be constantly making progress to pleasing Krishna and making spiritual advancement. Trinadapi sunichena, tarorapi sahishnina, amanina manadena, kirtaniya sadahari. Indra was saying that, what kind of leader am I? Any leader who disrespects great souls, he is boarding on a boat made of stone. This material existence is compared to an ocean. And one who boards a boat made of stone will simply sink. And anyone who follows such leaders, who do not offer proper respect to great souls, they all sink amongst their leader in this boat made of stone, in the ocean of material existence. Brahma explained to them that there is a very great brahmachari who's also a Brahmin. His name is Vishwarup. And he has the power to give you mantras by which you will be able to defeat the demons and regain your kingdom. So you should go to him. Although he is younger than you, you should not discriminate against him. You should accept him as a spiritual master. But I warn you, tolerate the fact that he's also very favorable toward the demons. So the demigods went to Vishwarup and they explained that in material society, one must offer all respect to one who is elder than them. But if one that is younger than us is more conversant in Vedic wisdom or transcendental knowledge, that person should be accepted as an elder. So we are coming to you. Do not be ashamed that you are our nephew. Accept us as your disciples and give us the means by which we can have the strength to conquer the demons. So Vishwarup taught them how to invoke the Narayan Kavacha. By chanting mantras and prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this mantra would make them invincible. After doing this and obtaining the Narayan Kavacha, by invoking the Lord and all his incarnations and his servants and his devotees' protection, Indra attacked the demons and conquered them and regained their abodes. But Vishwarup, his father was from the demigod society, and his mother was from the demon society. So he would regularly offer yajna, and he would chant mantras to offer the oblations by which the demigods would get powers. But secretly, when the demigods were nowhere around, out of affection for his mother's side, he would offer oblations with the names of demons. Indra found out about this, and he became very fearful. But what is this? If the demons become powerful, they may again attack us and defeat us. So in great anger, and without using much intelligence, Indra approached Vishwarup while he was involved in yajna, and unexpectedly cut off all of his three heads. And Vishwarup was dead. After this, Indra realized that due to his anger, he had just killed his guru, who was also a Brahmin. First he offended one of his gurus, Brihaspati, and he became in a big mess. And now he killed his next guru. So he understood he was in a bigger mess. Meanwhile, the father of Vishwarup, whose name was Tvashta, he became infuriated that my son has done so much for Indra and he killed him. So he decided to create a demon who would kill Indra. So he performed a yajna. And these fire yajnas, actually, they have to be performed with such precision. If you make one mistake, it can cause great havoc. And this will be revealed in this story. That is why in this age of Kali Yuga, there is only one yajna that can possibly be successful in helping us to proceed on the spiritual path. And that is the congregational chanting of the holy names. So the way he chanted the final mantra of the oblation into the fire, he chanted, "May the enemy of Indra kill his enemy." But there was one word in the mantra which was supposed to be said in a short way, but he accidentally said it in a long way. And it changed the whole definition of the mantra to, "May Indra, who is the enemy, kill his enemy." So after offering that oblation from the fire, a massive asura was born. His body was like a huge mountain. It was blackish. And his hair was red like copper. And his eyes were so angry and so luminous, they were like two suns just penetrating everything. And he had a gigantic trident. And he started growing bigger and bigger and bigger until his body covered practically the whole universe and the sky. And therefore the name was given Vritra. Vritra means one who covers everything. And he started to roar. And as he roared, the entire creation began to shake, and the demigods became fearful. And immediately they all attacked him before he grew any bigger. And they just, all of their weapons and all of their powerful astras, they started throwing at Vritrasura. But Vritrasura was so gigantic, his mouth was like a massive cave that appeared to swallow the three worlds. And all the weapons of all the demigods were within an instant swallowed by the mouth of Vritrasura. So the demigods didn't know what to do. In such a situation, there's only one thing you can do, and that is take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. So they all began to offer their heartfelt, desperate prayers to the Supreme Lord Vishnu. And in these prayers, they honored the Lord. And the Lord appeared before them, first within their hearts and then before their eyes. And they said to the Lord that you are always the savior and protector of your devotees. And we are your devotees. And we have no other shelter than you. Actually, foolish people, they take shelter of demigods for the purpose of getting relief from the miseries of this world. But even the demigods are suffering the miseries of this world. And when they're in misery, where do they go? They go to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Krishna explains in Gita, "Kamaistaistha hrityajnana prabhadyantenyatevata." People with less intelligence worship the demigods. They do not know that all of their powers and glories come from me. The demigods' bodies and their positions are temporary within this world. And when they become defeated or fearful of the natural adversities that come in the course of material nature by the power of time, the demigods have only one recourse, and that is to take shelter of the Lord by offering prayers and chanting his holy name.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
fact, the demigod said to Lord Vishnu that foolish people of this world take shelter of us. And we compare them to people who are trying to cross over the ocean by grabbing to the tail of a dog. Because people see dogs swimming in the ocean. So they think, oh, a dog is swimming. So let me cross this ocean by grabbing the tail of a dog. But how far can a dog swim in the ocean before he sinks along with whoever is holding to his tail? So this vast, vast ocean of material existence, only the Supreme Personality of Godhead can save us. Samashitaye padapalavaplavam mahatpadam punya gesho morari bhavam buddhiravatsa padam 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 yadvipateshataya. That this material existence is an ocean of birth and death. But one who takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this vast ocean is reduced to the size of the amount of water contained within the hoof print of a small calf. So who will take shelter of any other Lord than Krishna, who even the demigods must take shelter of? So the Lord was pleased with their prayers. In the end, they ultimately said, in your form of Nrsimha and Vamana and Kurma and Matsya, you have saved the demigods so many times. Now we are asking you to incarnate again to destroy this Vritrasura, because he is beyond our power to fight. The Lord said, I am pleased with your prayers, but only foolish people come to me to ask for material benedictions. Intelligent people understand that all the things of this world that you can ask for, they are all perishable. They can give you no satisfaction or shelter. Therefore, my real devotees, my pure devotees, they only ask me for devotional service. They only ask me for purified hearts to serve me and please me. You are asking for poison. Material life is like poison. Material possessions are like poison. Because when we become attached to them, it spoils our humility and our natural devotion to God. And the Lord said, a good master will never give poison to his servant. A good master will only give what's best for the servant. And then the Lord explained that there is a very, very great Brahman of the name Dadichi. This particular Brahman was the guru of Tvashta, who was the guru of Vishwarup. It was from Dadichi that the Narayan Kavach was handed down in disciplic succession to Tvashta, to Vishwarup, and by that powerful Narayan Kavach, you became so insurmountable. Dadichi's body is so strong. If you take the bones of his body and make a thunderbolt, that thunderbolt will have the power to kill Vritrasura. So you should go to Dadichi and you should request that he die so you can use his body to make this weapon. So the demigods were very relieved, and they all went, headed by Indra, to Dadichi. And they said to Dadichi that you are so great, you are so powerful, you are so merciful and benevolent, we request you to die because we require your body to make a thunderbolt to kill this demon Vritrasura, who is causing so much havoc within the universe. So Dadichi was a self-realized soul. He was a pure devotee of the Lord. And he was completely detached from the material world. But he wanted to hear religious principles from the demigods and test them as well. So he replied jokingly, with a smile on his face. He said that this body is the all in all. It is so dear to everyone. People are willing to do anything, kill anyone, to somehow or other protect their body. The comforts of the body is what everyone lives for in this world. Do you not know what kind of pain takes place at the time of death? How could you possibly ask such a thing for me to give up this body, which is so precious to my life? It is everything. And when the demigods heard this, they began to preach to Dadichi. They said, actually, this body is perishable. It has to die someday or another. So therefore, one who is pious and good should be willing to give up his body to do good for others. What is the use of a body if you do not sacrifice it? If you do not even be willing to die to bring happiness and protection to other living beings? That is the glory of life. Of course, they wanted it so that they could have their abodes back. But still, they were preaching very nicely. And Dadichi said, yes, what you are saying is true. I am not attached to this body. I am only attached to Krishna. And he explained that one who is not willing to die for a good cause, one who is not willing to utilize whatever he has for a good cause, those attachments are simply meant for his anxiety and condemnation. One's body, one's mind, one's words, one's wealth, one's influence, whatever it has should be used only for the benefit of other living beings. Because after all, it will perish. By the power of time, today or tomorrow, everything we have will be taken away. The glory of our life is while we have it, we use it for the benefit of others. Srila Prabhupada explains in this regard Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction, Bharata bhumite hoila manusya janma jara janma saratika karikara para upakar. That those who have the rare fortune of taking birth in India, they have the natural heritage of spiritual culture to save the world. And they should utilize their births not simply for their own comforts and acquisitions, but they should use their births for performing the greatest welfare work for everyone. And what is the greatest welfare work? To help people to cross over this ocean of birth and death by teaching the process of taking shelter of the Lord, by associating with devotees, by hearing his glories, by chanting his holy name. Vishwarup said, I'm sorry, Dadichi said, that one who is unhappy to see other persons unhappy, and who is happy to see other people happy, that person is appreciated as following true religious principles by the great saints and sages of the world. This is a very important verse. A Vaishnava is paradukaduki. He rejoices to see other people happy in the service of the Lord. And a Vaishnava, his only real pain is the anxiety of seeing people wasting this valuable, precious human form of life, trying to enjoy the temporary phantasmagoria of material nature. At this time, Dadichi sat in samadhi and began to fix his consciousness on the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. And he merged all of the elements, his material, subtle and gross elements, at the feet of the Lord. And with his mind attentively remembering the Lord, he left his body. And the demigods brought Vishwakarma. And Vishwakarma, by his great skills, from the bones of Dadichi's body, he created an infallible thunderbolt. And then Indra and the demigods were encouraged, and they attacked the demons who were being led by Vritrasura. And Indra, with this thunderbolt and with the Narayan Kavach combined, he was just effulgent like the sun. And when the demons saw him, they became very fearful, and they attacked. And they started throwing all their weapons and trees and mountains and everything they could. But the demigods, enlivened by the power of Indra, completely neutralized all of the weapons. The demons had no weapons left, and nothing even touched a single one of the demigods. So they became very afraid. What's going to happen when their weapons come to us? We have no way to fight them. So they began to run away as fast as they could. And Vritasura was looking down and seeing all of his armies scattering out of fear, running away. And he began to chastise them. He said, "What kind of cowards are you?" He began to call each of the demons' names, all of his generals and commanders and leaders. He said, "A warrior with integrity will never run from the battle, never turn his back from the enemy. Do you not know that there are two auspicious, glorious ways to die? One is to die with one's mind completely immersed in the thought of Krishna, and the other is to die on the battlefield. One will go back to Godhead, and the other will get a heavenly destination. So you should not run, you should stay. Be willing, your life is temporary." In fact, Vritrasura told the demons that you are no better than stool. And he explained why he called them stool. He said, because two things come from the mother's belly, babies and stool. If a baby is a coward and is not willing to live with integrity, that person is not even to be considered a human, but rather considered stool from the belly of the mother. So don't be like stool. Come back and fight. But the demons were so much afraid for their lives, they just kept running. And the demigods started running after them. And Vritrasura started condemning the demigods. "So what nonsense people are you? These people are running from battle and you're attacking them from behind? A real Kshatriya will never fight someone who's running away. You let them run away. You should only fight those who have the courage to stand up and face you and fight you with proper weapons. You are all useless, all the demigods and demons. You are all cowards. You are all too much attached to your bodily conceptions of life. If you want to fight someone, fight me. I am facing you." So it was all the armies of the demigods, and Vritrasura was standing alone. And the demigods started attacking him. And he was just swallowing their weapons, and he began to roar. And when he roared, it created so much fear that the demigods all started falling unconscious. And then Vritrasura started trampling and smashing them with his feet. And Indra saw this. And he approached Vritrasura with a club in his hand. And he threw that mighty club, which had conquered so many great souls, powerful warriors. And Vritrasura effortlessly caught it with his left hand. And then he hit it against Indra's elephant, Airavata. And Airavata began to cough blood. And its eyes began to roll. And he went back 14 yards and fell to the ground with Indra on top of him. And Indra was thinking that this is my great club. And he so effortlessly just grabbed it and he's using it against me. Vritrasura had the club in his hand. He could have hit Indra again, but he didn't. He saw that Indra was so afraid, he was just standing in defeat. So Vritrasura began to preach to him. He said, "Indra, what is this you are doing? Do you not know that you have the thunderbolt, which is coming from the body of the Dichi and is specially ordained by Vishnu himself to kill me? Why you are afraid? You use this thunderbolt. It is meant to kill me." But he also explained to Indra that you are a great coward. You have killed my brother, Vishwarup, who is also your spiritual master and who is also a Brahmin. And you offended your guru, Brihaspati. Therefore, you are condemned. And why did you kill them? Because of your attachment to your material prestige and enjoyment. For one to do an ignoble or sinful deed just to protect one's own sense gratification is condemned by all righteous persons. Therefore, it is my duty to kill you. And because of your cowardice, material attachment, your body should not even be burned by fire. It should be eaten by vultures. But if you happen to kill me with the thunderbolt Vishnu has given you, then I will be very pleased because I am not attached to anything of this world. If you kill me, I will go back home, back to Godhead. So do not be afraid, Indra. I am not attached to any of the things of this world. I am only attached to the service of the Lord. From the highest planet to the lowest, they are all places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains Krishna's abode enjoys eternal life of bliss in the loving service of the Lord. Vritrasura explained to Indra that I have seen the lower planets, the higher planets. I have no concern for any of them. They are all temporary. They are all sources of misery. In fact, Vritrasura told Indra that the more you have these opulences and become attached to them and try to use them for your comforts and your sense enjoyment, the more anxiety you suffer. The more you have, the more you have to defend. The more you have, more and more to maintain what you have. It's a vicious cycle. Therefore, whatever we have, we should simply use it in the service of the Lord with detachment. Otherwise, our life is simply filled with misery. So you are attached to all these things, but I am not attached. Kill me. Let me go back to the spiritual world. And then he began to offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That let me take shelter of the dust of the great feet of the sages like Narada Rishi and the other devotees. Let me become the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord so I can always remember you and thus achieve your eternal abode by remembering you at the time of death. And he told Indra, you have your thunderbolt, use it. But it is my duty to try to kill you, so I must perform my duty. But my goal is to be killed. So then he roared and he took his trident and he threw his trident at Indra. And what Indra did is he used his thunderbolt and destroyed the trident and simultaneously cut off the right arm of Vritrasura. And Vritrasura was very happy that his death was coming closer. And then he took a club with his left arm and he hit Indra. And Indra fell down. And not only did he fall down, but the thunderbolt fell from his hand. So again, Indra felt, I am defeated. It is hopeless. There's nothing I can do. And he just stood there awaiting Vritrasura's attack. Vritrasura said, why are you standing like this again? Why you are such a coward? Do you not know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has ordained you to kill me? Why you have such little faith? Why you are afraid? Fear means material attachment. If one is taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, one is fearless. Actually, the Lord is the supreme controller of everything. Everything is moving by His will. We are all like puppets. Either through the external energy or internal energy, we are all being controlled by the Lord. Our success or failure, our victory or defeat, our life or our death, they are all in the hands of the Lord. Therefore, we should never, ever take credit for anything we do. If one takes credit, one is in great illusion, and one is overwhelmed by anxiety and fear. This is a very important religious principle to understand. All the anxieties and fears and distresses in our life is because we want to take credit for the good things we do, and we want to enjoy the fruits of our good works. But if we understand that it is all possible only by the will of the Lord, otherwise I can do nothing, and we give all credit to the Lord and take nothing for ourselves, all glories to Sri Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, we give all glories to our Guru and Krishna, then there is no fear, anxiety, or suffering. That is the path of deathlessness. Dhritarasura explained to Indra, do not be afraid of winning or losing. Just do your duty for Krishna's sake. That's all. Krishna has already decided, you will kill me? Please. I am ready to die. My mind is now fixed at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please come and kill me. At that time, Rudrasura again roared, and Indra took his thunderbolt and cut off his other arm. And then Rudrasura laid on the ground and opened his mouth, and he swallowed Indra as well as his elephant. And Indra and Airavata ended up in the belly of Rudrasura. But because he was protected by Narayan Kavacha, he did not die. But Dhritarasura's meditation was this, that I have defeated Indra, he's now in my belly, so I don't have to do my duty anymore. It's finished, now I can just meditate on the Supreme Lord. And he laid down and went into samadhi and completely fixed his consciousness in great humility and devotion on worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And in that Mahasamadhi, he was completely still. And Indra was thinking, this is my chance to escape. So he took his thunderbolt and somehow cut his way out of the belly of Dhritarasura. Then he was told by the demigods, you have to cut off his head. So Indra began to try to cut off his head. And he did it, but it took 360 days. It took one full year. Srila Prabhupada explains that because he was in samadhi, his neck became very stiff. And therefore, it was very hard to cut off his head. And when finally, after 1 year of extensive labor with the thunderbolt, when finally his head fell from his body, all of the demigods, demons, and everyone saw the beautiful light of the soul of Dhritarasura directly go back home, back to Godhead, to his eternal loving position as a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So who is actually victorious in this battle? This is the most important thing for us to consider. Was Indra victorious? He got Swargaloka back, which is the source of all his anxieties. He got his beautiful wife, Sachi, back. But actually, that was a great source of his anxiety. And he also, all of his beautiful heavenly gardens and palaces and jewels. But we know that whenever any great sage, whether it be Vishwamitra Muni or others, Naranarayan rishis, whenever they perform tapasya, Indra is always afraid, they're coming to take my abode. They should not get too much power. So he's always devising plans to divide and conquer to protect his abode. Even Prithu Maharaj, the Shakti Veshavatar of the Supreme Lord, when he did 99 Ashwamedha Yajnas, Indra was afraid, if he does 100, he may attain my abode. So in so many ways, he was disguising himself in so many religious garbs to steal the horse away from the Ashwamedha Yajna. So Indra fought gallantly and won. He was victorious. Attached to the wealth and opulences of this world. But Dhritarasura, he left his body, thinking of Krishna. Victory was his. Eternal life in the spiritual world with the Lord. And this is the goal of our life, to always be conscious of Krishna, to have complete faith in Krishna, to take the dust of the feet of the devotees on our heads. As Prahlad Maharaj said, bathe your entire body with the dust of the feet of the devotees by being their humble servant. And in that mood, you can jubilantly dance in transcendental joy and chant Krishna's holy names.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare!
After hearing this wonderful narration, Maharaj Parikshit inquired from Shukadev Goswami that who was this Dhritarasura? How could a demon be so learned and so pure and have such complete faith in the Lord? It appears to me that Dhritarasura was a paramhamsa, a pure devotee. Why was he in such a gruesome, terrible body as a demon? And Shukadeva Goswami, always supremely enlivened to hear inquiries which induced further narrations of the glories of the Lord and his devotees, began to explain the great mystery of how this pure devotee was living in the body of such a terrible demon. Then this narration we will discuss tomorrow at the Sunday program. The benediction of the Bhagavatam is anyone who hears submissively this entire story will attain pure devotion and go back to Godhead. So my request is you come tomorrow to hear the rest of the story. Aarti begins at 12:30 at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir. And after Aarti, the mystery of Dhritarasura will be revealed to all of us. And after hearing it, submissively, with faith, you will attain pure devotional service and go back home, back to God. Exactly when, it does not say. The destination is guaranteed. According to how submissively you hear it, that is how quickly this benediction will act upon you. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki! Do you like to speak a few words, Maharaj? His few words is more potent to purifying your heart than years of me going like this. So let us have kirtan. Everyone, please rise. Before, we'd like to thank Krishna Chandra Prabhu and his good wife, Radha Priya Mataji, for opening the doors of their humble home to welcome all of the Vaishnavas here to have nice chanting, dancing, and feasting. Krishna Chandra Prabhu is always very anxious to utilize whatever Krishna has given him to serve the Vaishnavas. And he's really a most humble and dedicated servant of the Lord.